happy new moon in Gemini. That actually perfected last night around 10:30 p.m. Central Time, I believe. It was definitely later in the night. So we're going to talk about the Gemini new moon signatures today. But how are we doing? How are things going? What were you guys tapping into with the Gemini new moon? We'll wait for some few more peeps to pop on and why we are doing that. Two announcements. I have my summer special sessions. One of those is a sort of summer transit check-in sort of moment. So if you want to know what the stars have in store for you this summer, that reading is called, I think, Catch the Wave Summer Transit Reading. Those have been really fun. The other two summer specials, there's a synastry reading. If you don't know what synastry is, synastry is a sort of astrological study in which we take two charts from two different people and we see how the charts mesh. So it's kind of fun to do a synastry reading with you and your partner's chart, or if you kind of have like an interesting friendship or situationship or something going on and you want to take a look at the compatibility. That is also a summer special. It's called the Summer Lovin' Synastry Reading, although you don't have to necessarily have it be a romantic connection. It could even be a past romantic connection that you would like to sort of unpack. Actually, one time, my astrologer friend, Denise Hewlett, she was on the podcast pretty recently. We were talking about love readings, and she one time gave me, like, a really profound, like, past love kind of reading where we looked at the charts of me and someone who, you know, kind of broke my heart a little bit, but honestly, it was like so healing to do it in retrospect. So that's something else we could do within the Summer Lovin' Synastry Reading. We could look at you and a past person's chart, especially if a past person is still like, I don't know, if you feel like you never got closure, or you feel like you still think about them, or you feel like you're still kind of traumatized from something that happened within that relationship. It can be kind of a cool thing to look at the synastry of both of your charts. Okay, and then the third offering is an astrocartography reading. And if you didn't know, I've been studying astrocartography now for a couple years. I used to have a astrocartography guinea pig session that I would do, but at this point I think I'm ready to branch beyond the guinea pigs and sort of do it for real. So astrocartography is the astrology of your location. So if you're looking to move, if you're looking to do a trek across the world or something like that, astrocartography can sort of bring, it can bring awareness and sort of enlightenment, I guess, to what different places in the world could bring out for your chart, since the chart changes depending on where you are. So, it's not to say, like, you still always have the natal promise of your original natal chart intact, you know, with your life's path, right? Like, that's the most important thing, but as sort of a secondary study, we can see how the chart changes depending on what location you are in. And if your location has drastically changed from your location of birth, that's also pretty interesting to take a look at. So those are my summer sessions. And then one last thing too, so I can get it in on the recording, Chicago Tarot Community, meet me at Five Point Holistic Health this Thursday at 7:30 for a tarot meetup. I'm calling the tarot meetup Tarot for Healing, and we will be meeting, discussing, how to use tarot for our sort of personal transformation, our personal healing journey. I'll pick a topic for Thursday night. I think it's going to be inner child connection, and we're just going to chat as a group. It's going to be super fun. I'm excited. Tell your friends if you're not in Chicago, but you know someone in Chicago, send them my way. Thank you very much. I would love to fill up this first meetup because I'm excited about it. Okay. That's the tea, my friends. All right, let's see what y'all said about the Gemini new moon that we're going through right now. Laura, you said anxiety, does that count? It absolutely does. I think here's the thing, and it's funny because the Page of Swords is right here. The Page of Swords, which is a very Gemini vibe. The Gemini new moon is interesting because if we think about the moon itself and what this planet describes, the planet can describe sort of how we emotionally sponge the environment, how we're sort of interpreting the environment, how we're reacting to the environment, right? And if you think about Gemini's default is to collect information. You know how a dog, like when a dog is in a new environment, they just like start sniffing everything? That's kind of Gemini-like, right? Like it's sort of like, oh, what is this? Picking up everything. And that's why you can't take a Gemini into an expensive antique furniture, you know, shop, because they'll start picking everything up and, you know, breaking things, right? Because they just want to, like, they want to study everything and kind of pick it up and collect the data of everything. So if you think about that energy mixing with the moon, which is the planet of emotions, you know, we tend to kind of maybe veer towards the anxiety land, like you said, Laura, because sometimes I think anxiety occurs when we're trying to logistically or mentally process information that is actually more like emotional information, you know, we're trying to process what we have to through like the body and feeling and somatically, but instead the brain is saying, oh, I have to think this through. So it's like the brain is processing the information in a way that is unnatural to the information itself. If that makes any sense. I feel like that's kind of a weird definition of anxiety, but that's something that just kind of came to me. Gemini can rule over some anxious feelings, right? But at the same time, what's really great is Gemini, like I said, rules over data collection. And if we've felt like we've been at a crossroads for a while, I think there's something about this Gemini new moon where, you know, the crossroads is the fog and the sort of blurriness and the mirage of what direction we should be going in. It's like slowly clearing in a way, because as Gemini collects tangible data, as Gemini collects tangible data, the path becomes more clear. And I also think our anxiety stories kind of become a little bit more clear. Because sometimes anxiety, you know, does us a favor in a weird way. Like, I was thinking about this this morning, because I said this earlier, but I slept over at my cousin's house, and me and my cousin's family invited me to go on a sort of summer trip to Europe with them this summer. And originally I said, yeah, sure, like, of course. Like, an opportunity to go to Europe, like, absolutely, or any opportunity to travel, I'll take it, right? But then, I started getting a lot of anxiety about the trip, and I ended up kind of pulling out, just because for a variety of reasons I'm not gonna really get into, but just in the past few days, that has clarified as to why I had so much anxiety about this, like, seemingly really cool trip travel, this travel opportunity. And it's, like, revealed itself really, really clearly why I wasn't meant to go on that trip, you know? So that can happen. Like, sometimes anxiety and intuition aren't that different. And sometimes anxiety is also like this isn't meant for you. That's what I like to say too about, like, people who are in relationships that just, like, constantly cause them anxiety. I don't know, like, it's just not right, right? Like, if it's constantly causing you cycles of repeating anxiety, I don't think it's right, right? So there's something about this Gemini new moon that might be pointing us towards maybe in a weird way, a helpful anxiety that's actually saying, hey, this isn't really aligned, or this isn't really the correct path. Although at the same time, this new moon in Gemini, who is its ruler? It's Mercury in Gemini. And Mercury in Gemini is a very, very strong Mercury. It's Mercury's favorite sign. So, you know, there's something here about, that data information or that data collection coming through as really clear information about how to move forward, right? So I have two cards here that kind of, for me, represent this Gemini new moon. We have the moon, which is sort of the anxiety soup, you know, the sort of unknown, the feeling of, oh my God, I don't know how to figure this out, or like, oh my gosh, like, what path do I take? Or, oh my gosh, like, I just have so much anxiety over continuing to move forward in this direction. And then I have the Ace of Swords, which is sort of the epiphany, right? The scene in the movie where the character wakes up and is like, in the middle of the night, is like, oh my God, that's what it is. You know, we're like, oh my God, that's the answer, or that's the code. I cracked the code. Ace of Swords is the cracked the code card, you know? So there's just something right now where there's this dichotomy almost being revealed to us, where it's like, okay, here's the path of anxiety, here's the path of not in alignment, and then here's the path of clear data that is presenting itself to us in a lot of ways. And how do we tell the difference? Corey, you said, I have Gemini in the eighth house, and the anxiety I felt seemed ghostly, like I couldn't work out what I was even anxious about. Totally, totally. Yeah, Gemini, eighth house. So you're Libra rising, right? Yeah, so that's interesting too, because the eighth house is the place of, like, what we share with others. So maybe partially some of this anxiety was sort of leftover energy from other people's anxiety. You know, sometimes it's like the eighth house, it has trouble sorting out what is mine and what is yours, because everything is so interconnected in the eighth house. So take a look at that. Actually, Corey, you make a good point. Take a look at the Gemini house in your chart and see if that sort of relates to the sort of crossroads, or the sort of, ooh, I was in confusion and anxiety soup, and now I'm sort of birthing into a little bit more clarity. I was talking to a friend recently who is going through like a really big life change, and they're sort of, you know, switching careers, and they're contemplating moving to a new city, right? But they've been, you know, I'll just be vague because they didn't give me permission to talk about this necessarily, although I don't think they would mind. But I don't know, I was just thinking about them as a mirror of this new moon, because they have city A, where they've been for like 10 years, and then they have this city B that they're thinking about moving to. And, you know, city A, from what I understand about, you know, what they've told me, like, they've never actually really completely loved city A or felt like they found their people or their tribe or their community in city A. And city A is home in some ways, but on the other hand, it's also like comfort, and maybe it doesn't make them incredibly happy to be there, but it's familiar, right? Like, it's something the ego is familiar with. So they've been kind of in this moon moment, right? Like, oh my God, like, should I stay in city A? Should I move to city B? Again, they're in city B right now. And as they're in city B, they have a job interview in city B, and their friend invited them to live with them this summer, or like to go like apartment hunting with them this summer for like a potential to live together and be roommates. And I'm like, that's like pretty clear data that, you know, something is aligned, right? Like, that's very clear data from the universe. Like, when the universe is literally opening the door and being like, oh, here's a place of living that's sort of opening up. Oh, here's a job, a potential job that might be opening up. Like, seems like a pretty good sign, like, according to the data. But, you know, rightfully so, they're still anxious about living or leaving city A. Because, again, they've been in city A for 10 years. You know, again, I think on some level it represents comfort, security, even just familiarity. And, like, I would say, though, when I look at their story that they've been telling me, city A feels like the moon. It feels like a sort of anxiety soup. It feels like sort of like there's not much opportunity that's really growing in this garden anymore. And now I'm in this position where, like, I have to walk forward. And the Ace of Swords, which we know from the tarot, is oftentimes representative of, like, a new beginning, a new idea, a aha moment, someone offering us something, you know. That Ace of Swords moment is happening in correlation with City B, the new city. But I think, again, because anxiety soup so often pulls us into, like, what is already familiar and secure, sometimes then we get it mixed up, right? Like, we're like, oh man, like, this new opportunity, like, now that feels anxious. And, like, you know, is it more anxiety inducing to stay where I am and, like, just not make a change, or is it more anxiety inducing to make the change? And we get so twisted in what is aligned. And right now with this Gemini new moon, there's something about clear data, the sort of the path that is presenting us the clearest data, that is the most aligned. like a sort of like, oh, my friend invited me to move in with them and this new job is appearing. Oh, like that's clear data that this path is opening a door, you know? So I should maybe choose that despite my anxiety. Do you guys get what I'm saying here? Like, it's like the path of clear data, the path of the Ace of Swords right now, it's very Gemini new moon, you know, vibe. It's a vibe. Yeah. And Mindful Swan, you said you can relate to the moon moment with City A and B. Totally. We've all been there, right? Like, we've all had a moment probably in our lives where we were contemplating, like, should I move here or should I do this? Same thing happened to me, you know, when I was in 2022, if you guys remember, like, I was really trying to figure out if I should still, you know, be in Chicago, you know, and I basically, this is when I was still living with my parents, so I wasn't paying rent. So I was able to, like, basically leave and go travel for, like, 4 months. And I went to North Carolina. I went to Arizona. I went to Seattle. I went to Mexico City. Like, I lived in all these different places trying to figure out if Chicago is the right place. And at the end of the day, through Witch Church, someone connected me with my current Chicago roommate. And I just really liked her and I liked her place. And like that data, that very sort of black and white data of like, oh, this aligned roommate is appearing is what led me into, you know, making that decision. And even though I was anxious, probably like, is this the right thing? Am I just like taking the easy way out? Like, is there a more exciting path to take, which is very Jupiter and Sagittarius of me, right? Ultimately, now I've been in Chicago for like 9 months or so. And like, I know it was the right decision for me. And I also see myself like being in Chicago for maybe like 3 or 4 years now before I figure out how to potentially move abroad again, which is kind of like a long-term manifestation. But anyways, yeah, like, you know, it was like a moon to Ace of Swords moment, you know, during that time last year. And it's funny, but I still was really meant to go on that moon journey. Like, I was meant to go and collect the data. And that might be something that we're all being encouraged to do with this new moon in Gemini, right? Corey, you said, I love the idea of collecting data. I'm over here trying to intuit something and I'm hitting a wall. Yeah, that's the thing. You're never gonna figure out the next step by staying inside whatever is like the circle of security, you know? Like, I was never gonna figure out should I move to Chicago or not from within the walls of my parents' house. Like, that's why last year I had to go on this, like, 4-month pilgrimage to, you know, figure that out. I had to go collect the data in real time. That's also something that might be coming through. Like, if you are feeling in, like, you're in anxiety soup, it could be, you know, you don't have enough data to make the decision. And how do you make the decision? Well, you have to go get more data, right? Yeah. Anyways, I specifically loved my trip to Mexico City last year, and I met my tattoo artist while I was there. Her name's Karen, and I'll show you guys. She's in Chicago right now, and I'll show you guys. She tatted me up 2 days ago. If you're listening to this on the podcast and not watching live, you can go to my Instagram or my TikTok and see my my new ink. But yeah, like there's fun things that come along too, like when you go on the path of data collection. Like was I meant to move to Mexico City? Maybe not then, but I met Karen, I met, you know, my tattoo artist. I got, you know, when I was in Mexico, I got a tattoo. Now we got to reconnect in Chicago. Like, you're able to meet people who you're meant to meet, and who maybe are giving them pieces of wisdom back to you in order to influence your decision. Yeah, it's such a funny thing, like how Gemini's like the double-bodied sign, and you know, we usually have two of something when things are in Gemini, like two different choices, or we get two different tattoos on our wrist, or like, you know, two people, two decisions, two places where I need to live. And sometimes when Gemini stuff is heavy, we're faced with like a one or the other kind of choice. And I really do think it's the data collection that helps us figure out which choice is the best thing. Thanks for the tattoo, love. Lauren, you said the data collection is really helpful. I've been feeling murky about a few things lately, but stuff with my book is really falling into place, so I'm just gonna follow that path right now. Exactly. Like, sometimes it's not that confusing. Like, you know, sometimes, like, it's our ego and our emotional attachment that makes things really confusing. But like, if we were really to just write the data down on a piece of paper, like, we would see, like, oh, the data is telling me it's a no. I even saw this thing on TikTok that, like, this girl was trying to figure out if she was supposed to be in the relationship she was in. So for 30 days, she made this chart, and every single day she asked herself, like, did this relationship, like, make my day worse or give me anxiety or, like, cause me a problem today? And that would be, like, a red day. And a yellow day would be if the relationship really didn't do anything. Like, it didn't add anything to her life, but it didn't, like, negatively impact her life. That would be a yellow day. And a green day would be like, oh, this relationship, this person, like, really made my day great, or, like, pushed me to be better today, or, like, you know, I was really thankful for this person for whatever reason today. And by the end of the 30 days of the data collection, I think 75% of her days were yellow and 25% of her days were red. So there, like, was really no green days even. Like, and that's the pure data was able to give her the clarity of, like, oh, this relationship, like, is not doing things for me, and now I need to follow the data, right? Yeah, so that's kind of what's special about Gemini energy. It puts things, it's a little bit more like 2 + 2 = 4 kind of energy, right? Whereas Pisces energy is like numbers, what are numbers, you know? Like, you know, our numbers are divine messages from God, you know, whereas Gemini is like, no, 2 + 2 = 4. This is the pure energy of it all. Okay. So yeah, this week, starting with this new moon last night, there's clarity that's coming through in the purest form of data. Alexandra, you said, what is the meaning of the twin tattoos on your arms? curious you would like to share. Oh yeah, sure. Well, it's so if you go to the tattoo artist, her Instagram, it's in my story somewhere, but it's Karen.af__ on Instagram. You'll see her profile. It's like she's a tattoo artist in Mexico City. She does these sort of like, these are her like signature designs. They're like ornamental flowers that are kind of in the sort of design of like Mexican art. And I love Mexican art, so I wanted these little flowers. And she added like a little moon kind of within the flower for me, because, you know, she knows I'm an astrologer. So that's just, these were almost like purely like, oh, they remind me of Mexico, but they also, I just really love the design. And the flowers on my elbow, those are more have more meaning, because I, every single day during the pandemic, like 2020, 2021, I spent most of my days in the forest preserve near my parents' house. And I swear to you that forest preserve saved my life, like in those 2 years. Like, you know, I recorded podcasts from that parking lot, and I cried in that parking lot, I laughed in that parking lot, I'd walk around the forest preserve and listen to podcasts, like, I made really important decisions, it's just, like, such a, it's a special place. I love that forest. Me and that forest have, like, a friendship, a relationship, so this is sort of, like, my homage to that forest, which, actually, me and my dad are gonna go take a walk there later today, but yeah, so that's kind of like the soft meaning, I guess, of the tattoos. So that is the tea, but yeah, my friend, what else was I gonna say? Oh, I had one more story example of this sort of data collection thing, if it'll help, because like I've given like locational data collection stories, but recently how this message is really hitting me is because I've been like trying to date more in the past like 5 or 6 months. And literally it's pretty exhausting. I've just been like meeting people from Hinge and going on dates with different people, and I've been on like a good amount of first dates in the last 6 months, and you know, not getting very far with really anybody. And recently, I kind of came to terms with that data collection, where I was like, wow, like, my week is busy. Like, I have my business, I have my part-time job, I have really great friends, I love to rock climb, I need to spend time in nature, giving energy to my spiritual practice. Like, I have a lot going on that does make me happy and does keep me busy. And like, just the data collection that I'm getting from like the dating process is just not good. Like, it's like you can't even swing it as like I really learned something from that person, like, or like that person really taught me something. Like, I guess you could, but at some point, like, I just feel like I'm literally wasting my time. And that's not me being pessimistic about love or partnership or whatever. It's just, like, the data is coming through as, Mal, you're wasting your time, because literally 100% of the time in the past 6 months, like, this sort of dating, meeting people through apps or whatever, it's just not clicking. Like, it's just you're not meeting the people that you're meant to meet. So I feel like that's a piece of data that's coming through. Like, it's like, why am I trying so hard at this? Like, you're like, what am I trying to get out of this? Or what am I trying to prove to myself with this situation? And what if I just stopped, you know, when I stopped putting my energy towards this thing that literally 100% of the time, according to my data, hasn't worked out, you know? And if something isn't working out 100% of the time and you've tried it 10 times or whatever, it might just be like a it's not the right time kind of thing. And that's kind of what I'm accepting too in this moment. Like, the data is saying it's not the right time to meet your person or whatever. Or like, it's not the right time to meet someone special, or it's not the right time to meet someone who excites you. I don't know. Yeah, maybe maybe this sounds pessimistic, but I really don't mean it to be pessimistic. It's like, it's more like, if something in your life is just draining you and, like, 10 out of 10 times is leading to, like, disappointment, or, like, the data isn't good, something about this Gemini new moon could be like, oh, like, maybe don't put your energy into that right now. Like, what else excites you besides that? And there's so many other things that excite me right now. Like, me and Sarah Cook, who's my dear friend and I guess my writing mentor in a lot of ways. She's a writing coach, freelance feminist on Instagram is her handle. Her and I are like planning a like amazing kind of artist way like class for later this year. And, like, I'm super excited about that. And, you know, yeah, there's just, like, a million things I could put my energy into where the data is good. So, yeah, let yourself follow the path of the data. This Gemini new moon. Guys, what's happening with you all? Can I pull you a card? Can I, can we send you a prayer? What do you need today? What do you need, to go into this week? Can I clarify the Gemini new moon energy? I'll say it one more time. If you are a Chicagoan, if you're a Chicagoan on this Thursday, I have a tarot meetup happening at Five Point Holistic Health. Come on down. Sign up details are in the post in my profile. It says Tarot for Healing. That's what the meetup is called. Would love to see you there. Let's try to fill up this first meetup, although there's 3 scheduled at the moment. So if you can't make the one on this Thursday, there's 2 more coming in July. But yeah, would love to see you in person, Chicago tarot people. There. And let's see. Laura, you said, I would love a card for what spirit wants me to know right now. Ooh. Okay, 4 of cups and 8 of pentacles. Yeah, this is weird because it feels to me like, how could this moment actually be for you? Because so many times we look at our challenges being things that are like working against us, right? Or like ruining our lives. But how could our challenges right now be for us and for our growth? And I think there is some really pinnacle career growth specifically happening for you right now. And I also feel, and I'm not just saying this, I feel like things are going to improve career-wise. Maybe since we got Four of Cups, I'm feeling like it's like in the next 4 weeks, 4 months, something like that. You know, there's something here that's like, if you view the situation as how this can be for you, right? 4-4-4, and then for you, things are going to improve, in a lot of ways. So do with that what you will, Laura. Let's see. Corey, you said, I love a card, please. What's the next step for this book? Fun. Page of Swords. The next step is taking your inner child out on a creativity play date. You know, like, how does your inner child want to write this book? If you can't find the motivation to actually sit down and, like, write and edit, like, what feels fun to your inner child? Like, could you go write at a park or write at a cafe? Or, like, where does your inner child want to, like, it feels like they just want to have more fun with the situation. How can you make the next step fun, enjoyable, and sort of something that could even, like, make you laugh? Like, why does the next step have to be full of, like, ugh, to do, I have to do this? Like, could it be more fun? Lauren, you said, I would love an anchor card for this new moon. Two of Swords. Lauren, yeah, no, I just feel like this is a really good time to really connect with what you want first and foremost. Be careful with the Two of Swords. Sometimes I say be careful with who we ask advice of or listen to, because like the Two of Swords is actually about connecting to yourself first and foremost. The blindfold is on. The person has their arms crossed, like they're kind of blocking out the world. So, you know, be careful about who you're sort of letting into your circle of trust to give you advice, and know that your knowing is stronger than any advice anybody could give you. And at the same time, like, something might not actually be ready to be decided. And sometimes when things aren't ready to be decided, we're in a state of not knowing. And can you let the state of not knowing be okay? And can you bring faith and trust to the sort of this sort of idea that when you're meant to know the right way forward, you will know the right way forward? You know, like trust. Trust that if you don't know, maybe you're not meant to know. And when you know, you'll know. Like, I know that might not be very helpful, but that's kind of how I feel. And Alexandra, you said, follow your heart and live in the present moment. Aw, thanks, Alexandra. Venzella, you said, I would love advice for this week. Camping trip Friday and work has been a lot. Ooh, that camping trip sounds like it's gonna be fun. Eight of Swords. I would say try your best to set yourself up for success mentally. If that makes sense, like, don't get trapped in a sort of a mind prison, and don't get trapped in your own pessimism. And this week, it's actually a week to sort of lift weights and work on your strength, but mentally. And how do we work on our mental strength? We might focus in on a mantra. We might make sure we wake up every day and read a list of like positive things we wanted to remember throughout the day. Like, how can we create daily practices for mind health, spirit health, mental health, and not just like give up, throw in the towel and decide like, oh, I'm gonna hate every minute of this week until I go on my camping trip Friday. Like, cause that just feels like waste of a week. Like, cause this week could potentially be productive. Allie, you said, would love a card about an old flame returning to my life. Ooh, okay. Seven of Cups. I actually feel like maybe one of the reasons they're returning is because they themselves are kind of in a confusing moment, or sort of they don't exactly know what's next, or they're sort of going through a sort of dark night of the soul, maybe, or like maybe feeling lost. Maybe they wouldn't describe it themselves as a dark night of the soul, but it feels like they're kind of lost and they don't know what the next step is, or they're sort of on a identity search again. And I think one of the reasons they are returning is because they see you as a familiar person in their lives, and they see the time that you guys spend together as something familiar in this sea of them feeling maybe slightly lost. So keep that in mind, and like, that's not to say that you guys can't have like a great time together and have a great moment of reconnection, but I think keep in mind that part of them is searching for like familiarity and security in a time of the unknown, and I think you represent that to them. Emmy, you said you missed the beginning, but can I get a data card for my data assistant self who is tired of data assisting? That sounds like your Mars and Gemini, Emmy. Page of Pentacles. So the part of you that really wants that new, more creative job, I think is sort of represented by the Page of Pentacles. I'm getting the message, Emmy. I'm not trying to downplay your stress or whatever, like, because I'm sure it is stressful to like figure out, okay, I want to leave this job that I've been at for a while, but I don't know what's next and blah, blah, blah. But how can you make it more simple? Like, how can you make it? Yeah. Like, it seems like the Page of Pentacles in spirit are sort of being like, it's simple. Like the way out is more simple than you think. And as for the data collection, that might be for you in the form of applying to many different kinds of jobs and seeing which ones may stick. And maybe the ones that do stick are sort of where the universe is trying to meet you halfway. But I think you need to give the universe, you need to create a road for the universe to actually meet you halfway through. And that road seems to be connected to like job application things and applying to a variety of jobs, like, and just kind of seeing what happens and how it goes. And the Page of Pentacles, you know, takes joy in trying something new. So that's something that's coming through too, Emmy. Also, I guess too, in the inner child perspective, like the inner child Page of Pentacles, like, might get stuck in like wanting to be responsible or do everything right. But how can you be more fluid and creative in the approach? Alexandra, you said, I would love a card for the week. There is so much to celebrate. I am overwhelmed with joy. Yeah. Ooh, Alexandra, and you got the Ace of Wands. Hell yeah, flow with it. Flow with it. Use that energy to catalyze yourself into something new. Be in that frequency of celebration. Use this celebratory energy as like magical juice that helps you manifest other things too. Like, use this energy that you have in good ways. That feels like the Ace of Wands. Like, whatever this energy boost is that you have, wield it. Wield the energy boost and don't waste the energy that you have right now. Laura, you said that makes sense. Totally. And then Faye, you said, I'd love a card today. Energies are feeling even and balanced. Ooh, a lot of aces today. Faye, you got the Ace of Cups. Totally. Yeah, keep receiving from yourself. Keep receiving love and abundance and the feeling of safety and the feeling of acceptance from your own self, from your higher self. Like, that feels like the relationship that is most important right now is the one that you have between you and your higher self, and how you both can send each other mutual love and admiration. Yeah, it just feels like you're in love with spirit right now. Alice, you said, can I have a card for the week? Yes, let's see. Six of Wands. Hell yeah, Ellis. The right decision isn't always the easiest decision. And it seems like maybe you don't see it now, but I think the decisions that you're making right now are really important. They're rooted in self-respect. They're rooted in protection of yourself and your inner children. They're rooted in self-trust. They're rooted in self-knowledge and all that you've learned about yourself over the past couple years. And now it's like you're really being put to the test, you know, in a weird way, to like make those decisions. Again, that are rooted in self-respect, self-love, self-protection. But it looks like you're doing it with flying colors. And maybe it doesn't always feel like that. Maybe it doesn't always feel good or happy when you do that, but feels like you're really that you're in integrity. That's what it is. Like, it's the frequency of Ellis being in integrity with Ellis. You know, and that's who matters. Yeah. Noelle, I think you're talking about the Eight of Swords, the Pessa prison, the prison of pessimism. Totally. Horner, darling, you said, I love a card. I am heading in the right direction. Am I heading in the right direction with my current project? Yeah. Let's see here. Temperance. Yeah, I would say, like, I think you're on the right path with the current project. But I also think there's something, like, Temperance is a card where you're kind of integrating the past and the future. And sometimes when we're shooting our arrow at the future, we like hate the past and we want to just move on from the past and just kind of like completely turn a new leaf. But what if there is something from the past that is important to bring into the current situation? Or what did you learn? Or how can you honor your past self in the new direction that you're heading in? And how can you integrate who you were in the past with now who you are becoming in the present? Morgan, you said, I'd love a card for any guidance on continuing to ignore my children's father. Okay. The Emperor. yeah. You know, I was actually seeing a image of like a mother goose, like, you know how when gooses geese cross the street and their like children follow them as they cross the street. Like, you know, like it's instinctual for like the baby chicks to follow the mother goose. I was getting that vibe. Like, if you hold yourself in your own power, in your own integrity, like your children are just going to follow that vibe naturally. And yeah, when it comes to ignoring your children's father, it's not necessarily about ignoring them or ignoring him. It's more about putting focus on you and your own emperor energy and taking up space in your own life and honoring yourself first and foremost. And that naturally will make you less focused on his shenanigans or, you know, his energy that's all over the place, like because you are becoming so solidified in your own truth. Okay. Lauren, you said I would love a card for the new moon. Yeah, let's see, Lauren. Ooh. Nine of Pentacles. I love it. I love it. Yeah, it's a time of self-celebration. What if you don't need to worry about the next step as much as you think? And what if the only thing to do right now is to celebrate in what you created, celebrate in your own abundance, like be proud of yourself, be proud of what you've accomplished, what you've gone through. And maybe sometimes we just have to sit in the pleasure of what we've created instead of always obsessing about the next step. And then the next step just naturally lands in our lap, right? Cool. Alexandra, you said, thanks, Mel. I love it. I will stay in the frequency as long as I can. Emmy, you said, thanks, Mel. I have applied for 15 plus jobs in the last couple months and I've gotten nothing back, but they've all been pretty similar jobs. So what you said makes sense. I have to switch it up. Yeah, that makes sense, Emmy. Like, go a little bit even more extreme in the differences. yeah, that feels aligned. And then Horner, darling, you said awesome. Thank you so much. Mindful Swan, I'll pull for you. You'll be the last card of the day. You said, I love a card about my career path, and you got the World. So the World is the final chapter of the tarot. It's a card about endings, graduations, going into new beginnings. So if you needed any confirmation about like going to take the next step, moving on from a current career path, going into something new, or even like just applying for like a promotion, or really it feels, you know, the message that's coming through is like, where have you stopped learning new things? And like, how have you completed the lesson? And now it's time to like, quote unquote, apply for the new class. You know, it's you've upgraded. You now know so much. Like, it's time to upgrade yourself, upgrade your career. So yeah, if that makes any sense, like it's an upgrade. Venzella, you said, thanks so much. I will try to break out of Pessa prison and happy summer solstice this week, I think. Yeah. First day of Cancer season is coming through. The moon's in Cancer right now. The moon's out of Gemini. So, yeah, my friends, it was so good to talk to you today. I hope everybody has a wonderful Father's Day. Yeah, happy Father's Day to, you know, especially the mothers here, who the single mothers who, or not even the single mothers, but just the mothers who, because of societal expectations, oftentimes have to take on the role of two parents instead of one. Okay. All right, friends, we'll talk soon. We'll talk probably next week, I'm sure. And, I will, yeah, sending you good vibes. Thanks for coming. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.